Contract Properties is a homegrown, family-owned maintenance company located in Nashville. They provide HVAC, electrical, plumbing, painting, and many other services for commercial and residential properties. From build-outs to junk removal, one call does it all. Whether you're a homeowner or a property manager, give Contract Properties a call today for a free estimate. 615-356-0755. That's 615-356-0755. Or visit contractproperties.net.
The Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. On 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thank you to all of the Midday 180 season ticket holders who have stuck with us all year long. Ready for a big final hour. Headed into the Thanksgiving Day holiday. I have a very small gathering tonight with immediate family, Paul. And then tomorrow, same thing with Claire's family.
It's
in-laws,
funny.
And that's it.
Like, I'm sympathetic with people who are losing out on their generally large family gatherings. And for the Nashville Kuharski family, it's a typical Thanksgiving with the three of us, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I know
it's
what you mean.
It's always just been the three of us. So it'll be completely normal. Simon, because there's so much COVID going around, his school was not able to go to his broken arm appointment on Monday. And so he may have lost out on a week of a shortened cast or whatever. So now Monday, he either gets a shortened cast or a cast off conceivably. So we're ticking away to that.
If he has the cast off, that is the fastest healing arm I've ever heard of.
That'd be 5 weeks. And they said,
I saw the x-rays, though. Yeah, that's what
said,
I'm saying.
They said 6 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with Hutton on this. I understand being young and healthy. That was one of the most disgusting
bruises that, right?
I've seen.
Yeah,
it looked like the bone was pushing against the skin to a degree that it was an inch.
If he has the cast off, this will be similar to Terrell Suggs coming back from his torn Achilles in 8 weeks.
Well, here's the thing I keep picturing for him is like
allegedly
how long before
Simon on roids?
I picture going out into the yard with him to like, okay, let's try to throw, and him like going underhand for a minute.
Yeah,
like how long before he will actually like even overhand throw anything with the weight of a baseball? I would be scared to death of my arm snapping.
If I are healed from this in 5 weeks, the way that the doctors think he may, I would be expecting a rookie of the year scenario.
Yeah, right.
Cubs are we going to be calling?
Yeah, we can use him.
615-737-1045, our number. Pittsburgh and the Steelers, it's happened again to Mike Tomlin's team. Their game has been postponed due to COVID-19, and they are livid, to say the least. They're not holding back on Twitter with some of the words being used. Eric Ebron, even Duck Hodges, a second-string, third-string IR quarterback. I don't even know where he's designated right now. He's letting people have it on Twitter. Juju Smith-Schuster is upset, not because of the postponement that they're going to play on Sunday after jam-packing everything in over the last couple of days. He's upset that he's not going to be in prime time on Thanksgiving night. That game has been moved to Sunday, and we don't know yet if it's at noon or if it's at 3:05 or 3:25, whatever the kickoff would be in the late time slot. They haven't announced that yet.
Only reason to not put it in the time late time slot is because you feel like you're messing with other games. But I mean,
I think
people want to see that game.
You know, CBS,
I think they should put it on Sunday night.
CBS would. I'm assuming CBS gets the game.
Yeah, but that's the announcement says don't know what network.
Right, because this was going to be on NBC, and so you were going to have Tirico calling this game with tomorrow night with Collinsworth.
I presume.
Or Dungy, one of the two, because that's his partner from Notre Dame football, right. I believe. Anyway, nonetheless, now it's going to be on Sunday. I'm curious just to see how they pair that up with the network, because that was NBC's looking at this going, we just had a Sunday night football game that had 20 million viewers there's no telling what they feel like they were going to pull tomorrow night, and now that's gone. No, so
I really think that they ought to manipulate it into Sunday night. Green Bay, Chicago is a nice rivalry game, but that's a terrible game. I mean, Chicago's terrible.
Yeah.
Move that to 4 o'clock.
But it's a classic rivalry that people will tune in for.
Yeah. Now, you're not getting $20 million for that, but you're getting over $20 million if it's Steelers.
I think so. I think so. I'm curious to see how they handle it. Well, the NFL's making the right call.
When we found out about this, it's not just that the Steelers get another game moved. So, look,
it's not just,
you have to be sympathetic to the Steelers. They lost their bye week because of the Titans COVID thing. They're losing a mini bye week here. And were they on the road last weekend?
Yeah, at Jacksonville.
So they were at Jacksonville. They come home. You pointed this out. Now they've hurriedly prepared for the Thursday night game where they didn't need to. So twice with no COVID issue of their own, they've been – now, I mean, that's the luck of the draw. But they've been the unluckiest COVID team.
All true.
And for no COVID issues of their own.
You were –
and so they're the undefeated team.
This news came out Monday. Right as I arrived back, you were headed to the airport in Baltimore. And the news came out, and I told Chad then, I said, I am betting you this game will be moved to Sunday now at minimum. And it was obvious to me then. So – why not be proactive, especially?
Oh, they want to hold on to the very last.
But from second. They're postponing it because Baltimore's not practicing. That's why they're postponing this. And so Baltimore didn't practice on Monday. They didn't practice yesterday. They're not.
They've got new cases.
They're not traveling today.
Well, that's why they held it until almost flight time.
Yeah, they did.
Pretty much, right? As long as you can.
But we've seen earlier this year where they travel with guys that have been. Well, it's weird.
They modified it to get away from that.
I'm not arguing the decision. I just wish that they were more proactive in making the right call. The right call was to move the game back. Why not do it yesterday or the day before and allow the players to know one way or the other on a holiday what they're doing? Like, it's just, to me, that's common sense, and they're holding everyone hostage. And you can argue, well, that's the year. That's just luck of the draw. That's true. But you can also be a bit more proactive and have some better foresight with this and what they've done.
Are there fans in Detroit?
I don't think so.
If there are no fans in Detroit, if you had done it earlier.
I don't think there are, but I don't know.
If you had done it earlier, like you're suggesting, you could have conceivably moved the Detroit game tonight.
And they're not doing that. They're holding the games at noon and 4:05.
Right. And I understand that now, but if you wanted to do it and you were proactive Monday, Tuesday before noon, logistically you could have done it, right? Because you're not screwing people with tickets.
But then you're screwing your TV partners. So
wouldn't they rather have a night game even if
NBC, if they're NBC's got the rights to the night game. So they don't want CBS to then get it, right?
Well, you say you'll make it whole in the end.
I get it, but the NFL's having to juggle, okay, how do we treat the players? Are we doing the right thing health-wise? That should be the first thing. But they've also got the TV contracts and the money involved with all this that are coming up after this year, and they want to make sure everybody's happy. It's tough. It's a tough year for that.
I do think NBC would, I don't know, maybe I'm naive here, say, it's better if there's a night football game that continues to grow the pot and you're going to pay us back in some way, shape, or form.
But NBC's paying the most among all the networks.
Right.
Right now. Right.
But if CBS gets that game and turns the Detroit game into a night game, it's better for football. And better for football is better ultimately for NBC.
I lean like that too, but from the business side of things, that probably never even came up.
Titans.
What did come up in your chats? Yeah,
Titans on the logo gathering pregame. I hate this story. I hate it. I hate all the faux disrespect and all that.
Can I jump in real quick on this? Yeah. You know why it's a story? Because there is such a lack of animosity anymore in the league.
Agree.
There's no rivalries.
All compliments.
It's all compliments. Everybody's happy with each other. There's handshakes. And if you don't handshake, there's a beef going on.
Yeah, you can stand on the midfield logo when you're swapping jerseys after the game.
Exactly. Right. And there's such a lack of the animosity and the heated rivalry.
Before the game.
The heated rivalries are gone. There's no individual rivalry. There's some, but not a lot. And because of that, any small inkling that there's a beef turns into this.
So, I mean, Derrick Henry, who rarely expands on anything, almost expanded on this.
Almost.
I texted Glenn, and I'm like, you got Derrick Henry talking. He said, you know, we gather on the logo. It's something we've always done here. It's no disrespect to an opponent. We did it in the playoffs. We do it every game, every away game, every home game. It's no disrespect. We just break it down. It's a tradition we do. You know, and then somebody took another shot with Daquan Jones, who's been around the longest, right? So trying to get some information on, like, when it started, when it became a thing. Did you know this was a thing? Did anybody know this was a thing? I couldn't tell you that the Titans gather at midfield. I mean, I'm thinking of Titans introductions at Nissan Stadium. Yeah, they run to midfield, and the rest of the team greets them there, but I've never thought of it as, like, a thing.
The only disrespectful thing that I've thought of with a logo is, and I'm here for it, is the Byard interception standing on the star.
Yeah, that was echoing T.O.
Sure.
With a purpose.
I mean, that's
and
what T.O.'s they're doing.
Was absolutely like a, you know, slap at the at the Cowboys. So Daquan,
this isn't that.
Daquan said, we've got to send a message. Their thinking was, they go to the middle of field. Call it disrespectful all you want. I really don't care if he calls it disrespectful. It's something we do. We're not going to stop doing it.
Dean Pease about to join us. It is time for our Dean of Defense as he gives us the game plan against the Indianapolis Colts and what has to change, what would have worked but wasn't executed against the Colts offense from 2 weeks ago. Dean Pease next on the Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Glad you're with us. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. Alongside Paul Koharski, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Chad Withrow with a well-deserved day off ahead of Thanksgiving. David Reed is the chairman of the board today and every day making the show happen for us. And pleased to be joined by our Dean of Defense, Dean Pease, who joins us normally on Fridays but is nice enough to rearrange the schedule ahead of the holiday, and he's always presented by Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Achieve freedom from glasses and contacts. Swim, work out, wear makeup the next day with Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Dr. Rolando Toyos, Nashville's top doc for LASIK and smile, online at toyosclinic.com. Coach, happy Thanksgiving to you and Mel. Hope the family is okay during the Thanksgiving holidays, and always great to have you on the show.
Hey, glad to be here, and happy Thanksgiving to you and Paul and all the crew there.
How much did you hate facing an opponent within like a 17-day window, the way the Titans will face the Colts? Did you hate it, or did it make things easier because of the game plan we're about to go over?
Well, it kind of depended on how we fared the first time around. But, you know, you kind of, in some ways, always kind of like to have it spread out maybe just a little bit more because, you know, you got some other things then you can kind of build to and maybe some other things that you've done in a couple of weeks that now you can kind of throw at them that maybe you didn't throw at them the first time. I mean, when you've only played one game in between those two, you know, you probably aren't going to come up with a whole lot of new things. And so it can go kind of either way. You're familiar. But at the same time, you'd kind of like to have a little bit more in your arsenal when you play them the second time.
So the keys are not changing from what they were on Thursday Night Football for this Indianapolis offense, for what the Titans must do. And it starts with stop the run. And we can get into Nyheim Hines in a moment. But just overall, they want to get Jonathan Taylor involved. They've been trying to do that, and they did it this past week against Green Bay. Do you expect them to make that more of an emphasis on Sunday?
I don't know if it's going to be more, but it's going to be, I think, at least as. And I think that, you know, they're going to want to establish the run. And part of that is, I know we're talking about him later, maybe Hines, but he's part of that. And they're going to get a bunch of guys, you know, involved. Because the other thing they do is with they don't want to get into third and longs, just like any team doesn't. And the best way to do that sometimes is a quick passing game and the running game. And I think they're still going to try to establish the run and you know, we got to stop it.
So let's go a layer or two deeper on their run game, because Jack Doyle missed the Thursday night game and the tight end work within their run formations. You pointed that out with us on that Thursday night football matchup, but let's mention what they'll do with their tight ends and how they can build their front to get the front that they want and make their front adjust to what they're doing. Explain what the Titans are up against with the motions from the tight end position in Indy.
Well, the thing is, when a lot of defenses are predicated on where the tight end originally aligns, and usually he aligns right outside the tackle. So they can set the three technique there. You can set the bubble there. It just depends on what the call is, but it's predicated on the tight end. Well, there's also usually a rule that if there's no tight end in there, it's an open. There's nobody in the C area outside the tackle box. You may set it to the back or whatever. And what they do a lot of is they'll motion the tight end. If you motion him across the formation behind the quarterback, that's not a problem. You just bump the front. But when you set him outside the receivers and then bring him in, a lot of times the linebackers don't see that and can't get the front changed. So that's how they've done a good job over the years here of building the front and putting the tight end in a good advantage spot to block without the defense kind of seeing it or seeing it late. And I hope I explained it well enough, but they do a good job of that. They really do.
And so you have to adjust on the fly, but do it quickly and not get fooled based on that motion and what they're actually attempting to do with the blocks they're setting up for their run game.
Right. And one of the things that we did the second time around, like last year, was, hey, we just set the front to the tight end, even if he was outside or not. We didn't really care. We didn't make any different rules. We just said, wherever the tight end is, I don't care if he's in the C gap or he's outside, we're going to anticipate him coming back in. Because how many times are they going to leave the tight end outside at the number one spot? Not very often. So we just that's how we handled it. So they just got to figure out how they want to do the rules this week, and they'll be okay.
Is the green dot helmet, is that the guy who sets the front for you? Is he making those calls? Because we know Jayon Brown is out.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Usually the mic is the guy that's going to set the front, because everything's kind of predicated on where the mic is, the mic linebacker, which is Rashawn. Now, I don't know if this year Rashawn was setting the front, Jayon was setting the front. Right, when I was at Baltimore, I had the outside backer, Jared Johnson, set the front. You can have anybody set the front other than the secondary guys and the D linemen. So that could be, Rashawn can easily do it. That's not a problem with whoever has the green dot. They can give it to anybody. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the guy that's going to set the front.
While we're on the green dot, I asked Mike about it just a little while ago, with Jayon out and the potential for that position not to be the same guy throughout. He said, you know, he's wary of giving it to a safety, and they probably stick with a linebacker. So that sounds like maybe it would be Evans, the closest thing to an every down linebacker there.
It probably will be. I would guess that it's probably going to be Rashawn. The problem with the secondary guys is that, you know, all of a sudden you get a safety run off deep on a route, and all of a sudden they're back on the ball and you're trying to send the thing in. You're going to have to signal because he can't get up there and get the call to the front in time. Whereas the linebackers, you know, in between them, at least he can turn around, signal. He can tell, he can yell at the front. Secondary can always look and get a signal from the sideline. I tried that one time using a secondary. It's tough. It's really tough.
You want the Titans to push the pocket here. Rivers can move, but if the Titans can get him moving a little bit, that low trajectory can create some problems for him. How did they do at that last time, and how can they do better?
It was okay. I thought we pushed the pocket okay. The ball was, he got the ball out pretty quick. I really thought Hines did the most damage to us in that last game. And so they just got to keep doing that and keep the lanes closed. There was a time last week when they played Green Bay that he threw the ball so sidearm, I swear it would have hit a defensive lineman in the chest. And he's not that nimble anymore. If you can get him off the spot and push the pocket with that sidearm, what happens is the ball will sail on him a little bit. And they got it. We need to get that done.
Dean Pease with us, presented by ToyosClinic.com. Third down defense and needing that carryover. Phillip Rivers did whatever he wanted to do against the Titans defense. I know that that's easier said than done, and I'm making it more simplistic than what it was. But he made his reads, and he delivered the football, and Indy made plays on Thursday Night Football. How can that change when you don't know if you're getting team speed, player speed back? We don't know about Adoree Jackson or Christian Fulton.
Well, I think, you know, at this point in time in the season, you're not going to come out there and all of a sudden invent coverages. You're not. I mean, you got to do what our guys can do and what our guys can play. But I do think with the addition of the nickel and a couple things that, you know, guys now kind of played a little bit more together in the last few weeks, that maybe we can do a little bit more with the coverage. And also, you know, try to get into his face and pressure him a little bit. So I think, you know, they're going to have to do what we do. We just got to do it better. And the thing of it is that we got to do assignment football. We got to be able to cover these guys. And like I say, I think the addition that is a little worrisome, especially in the red zone with them from last time, is having the tight end back. You know, he's a good blanket, kind of a safety blanket for Rivers. And then Hilton a little bit too. Pascal's playing okay, but I still think Hines is the guy.
Coach, David Long, a player you know very well, spent a ton of time with him and during the draft process and, of course, last year. How would you describe David Long, the player, and should we be expecting him to step in and give and deliver the same type of play that Jayon was giving this defense?
I do. I think, you know, there's always a drop off because obviously if there's a reason why a guy's a starter and a guy's a backup, there's always some. But sometimes that's a big drop off. Sometimes there's hardly any drop off. I'm telling you, David Long is a really good football player and a good linebacker, and he is a player like Jayon. It's not like you're bringing in a, you know, big thumper linebacker to replace Jayon. This guy can run and he can hit. That's why he's a good special teams player. So that's what Jayon's forte was. He can run, he can cover, he can tackle. Well, that's what David Long's forte is. He can run, he can hit, he can tackle, and he's smart. So I don't think the drop-off there, you know, I hate seeing Jayon out. I feel bad for him. But at the same time, they got a very capable backup there in David Long.
And one of the matchups I'm sure he'll see is Nyheim Hines at some point during this game. Jayon saw that on Thursday Night Football. And you mentioned on that day, you said, hey, I consider him a wide receiver when he would enter the game. We would go with a special nickel package whenever he would enter the huddle. And we noticed that they, and you did too, that they used him in the backfield quite a bit 2 weeks ago. So how are they using him now compared to what you were used to seeing?
Well, I saw that too also in the Green Bay game a little bit more. I tell you what I think happened in our game, though, too, is they put him in the back. They've always put him in the backfield some and done a little bit with him. And then a lot of times he was out even as a receiver or slot or whatever. I think what happened in kind of our game is he got hot like backs do, and all of a sudden they're going to say, we're not going to change. Why would you?
Right.
You know, all of a sudden running the ball. I can't remember. I saw somebody this last weekend. They were playing, and all of a sudden the guy got hot running the ball, and they just left the team left him in there instead of trying to do two or three different guys. I can't remember who it was, but, you know, that's what we got to take that away from them and, you know, make them use him some other ways. But he's still, to me, him and having the tight end back now is a we got to take care of those guys.
Colts and Packers, there were offensive holding calls like crazy. How often have you seen something like that?
What's that?
How often have you seen something like that, and what did it do to that game?
I tell you, Paul, at first I thought maybe they were doing it on purpose to try to run the clock. And then finally, I think the Packers finally, Matt kind of declined the penalty because, I mean, it was third and about 30 or second and 30. So he figured, you know, hey, let's get this thing over with and get the ball back to Rodgers. But I almost felt like it. And the thing of it is once I kept looking, watching the replays going, okay, are these little ticky-tack calls? No. I mean, they were tackling the guy. I mean, they were legitimate holding calls, all of them. So I've never seen anything like it. And they were on pretty good offensive linemen, which kind of, with Nelson and those guys, almost led me to believe that they were trying to play four-minute offense without playing four-minute offense, if you know what I mean, trying to kill the clock and make Green Bay keep taking the penalties, and they kept adding more plays to the game.
interesting strategy if they were really doing it.
The only thing that bothered me about it was kind of, there was still a lot of time. There was over 2.5 minutes when they started doing all that. That's a, you know, I could see doing that under 2 minutes, but that seemed like a lot of time. And then the problem was then they end up stopping the clock one time, and then, you know, that helped Green Bay.
That may have been Harold Landry's best game in Baltimore. Shane Bowen said during the offseason, we got to get his snaps down. He's playing too much. His snaps are up. He played all but one or two snaps in that game, and the last three snaps were probably among his best of the game. He had the sack there and was influential in the other two plays in the three and out. They're certainly milking everything they can get out of him because of the lack of depth at outside linebacker.
I think he's playing really well, Paul. I've said that in the last few weeks I've been watching him, and I really think Harold's playing really good football. Sometimes it doesn't always show up on the stat sheet, but he's made some really good tackles and some good plays in some critical times. And so, and I'm sure Shane and Mike and all those guys wanted to keep the snap count down. The problem of it is sometimes you just can't. You just can't. What you're doing is you're counting on other guys to come through for you so he can keep the snap count down. And when those guys don't come through for you, you're going to put, you got to play the best player out there. And Harold's the best player. And it, the other part of it is he's young. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, got a lot of years on his tires. I mean, this guy, you know, he can play. So I'm sure they'd like to. But right now, at this point in time, I don't know how they can. They got to put the best players on the field, and he's one of the best players.
Coach Dean Pease with us, presented by ToyosClinic.com. Vaccaro out with a concussion late last week. And when I saw that, I thought, uh-oh, because they're putting in a player that they're replacing a player who had played well against Baltimore earlier in the 2020 in the playoff game. Amani Hooker steps in, made some nice plays, gave up some plays, but overall, what did you think of his overall body of work in the defensive backfield next to Byard?
Again, I thought he did a really good job. It's his second year. I think he's learned a lot. He's learned a lot playing in sub defense when they move Kenny up to kind of a linebacker position. A lot of times they put Hooker in there in the sub package. You know, he's gotten a lot of experience. It's similar, Jonathan, to the Jayon Long situation. Hooker is a similar player to Vaccaro. He's not a speed guy. He's more of a physical guy. He's a big guy. You know, he can tackle well. He's a hitter. That's what Kenny is. They're both very smart. They both hit. You know, you're not playing with a guy that's going to run 4-3 or 4-4 back there at safety. He's more like Kenny is, where, you know, he's probably best up around the box, but he can play in the deep field. And I think he's really, really improved in that area.
And is he faster? Does he appear faster to you?
He does. I don't know if he's lighter, maybe a little bit. He almost looks like he might be just lighter. I don't know if that's true, or maybe it's just he's dispersed his weight different in the weight room or something. But he really looks like he's playing a lot faster, especially in the deep part of the field. That always worried me a little bit last year because he didn't have to do that a lot at Iowa. But I think he's playing really well back there in a deep part of the field and breaking on the ball pretty good.
What do you think of Jonathan Taylor? Wisconsin running backs generally come out as bell cows. He seems to fit the description, but and he's maybe playing a little bit better now, but hasn't been quite what the Colts were looking for or expecting.
No, I think you're right. I mean, those Wisconsin backs are used to carrying the ball 40 times a game coming out of college. You know, it's hard for me to say, you know, based on not watching their practices and watching every one of their games and stuff, that, you know, what the situation is. I think the thing, though, is they got a couple other guys, though, that have been there and have played a lot. And I think just like Hines, for example, they want to get him his snaps back there. So they're probably not going to be an offense where they're going to have the same tailback in there down after down. It's not going to look, you know, like Derrick Henry. You know, it's not going to be that, and then he comes out on third down. They want to get Hines in there, some on first down. They got the other guy in there that they want to get in there first down. They got a pretty good stable of backs, so I don't think it's ever right now going to be a situation. Now, again, if he goes out there and he starts getting hot, they're probably going to feed him the ball. But I think their plan usually going is, you know, he's going to get his 15 to 18 carries.
Stop the run, push the pocket. And as a part of that, key number two, Coach, get the hands up, right? You can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Bat down.
Yes. Yeah. And there's some opportunities with Phillip Rivers throwing his throwing motion that will allow that. And third down defensive carryover. But let's add a caveat to key number three, too, because the third down defense wasn't great against Baltimore, but the red zone defense was. It was very similar to your groups last year that we've come to expect, where Baltimore had to go the long, hard way. And you'd like to see more of that against Indianapolis.
Well, you remember we talked about it last week when we went into Baltimore. If you can keep them from not having a big play and make them work the field, there's a good chance maybe something will happen down there and they won't get in. And the bottom line is score. And I thought we did a great job with that, great in the red zone last week, and we didn't give up a lot of big plays. And, you know, he couldn't beat us with his arm. We said that last week. He was only going to beat us with his feet, and he didn't. And so I thought the guys did a great job. The other part about third down with the Colts is – we need to get our offense the ball as many times as possible against the Colts defense. They got a daggone good defense, and we need to give every opportunity to our offense to move the ball. And if they do that, then I think we're going to have a great, great outcome.
Coach Dean Pease, presented by Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Achieve freedom from glasses and contacts. Dr. Rolando Toyo's, Nashville's top doc for LASIK and smile. Online at toyosclinic.com. Coach, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for the time today. Enjoy the long weekend. Enjoy football tomorrow and, of course, on Sunday with Titans and Colts.
Will do. You guys have a great Thanksgiving also.
All right. I appreciate you.
Coach Dean Pease and his wife Mel there, happy Thanksgiving to both of them. Always great catching up, and we look forward to next week's visit as the Titans will be returning home to face Cleveland.
Another big game. Yes. after an important result either way.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Move. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Wrapping up what's been a fast-paced show. At least I think it has been. Paul feels the same way. Read your thoughts.
Very quickly. Okay. I think it's the lack of Thanksgiving food talk that moved.
I do too. I think that's really greased the wheels, if you will.
Going into the weekend and not one call. Not one call. 615-737-1045 if you'd like to be that one.
I've got a player interview at 2.
Are you keeping that secret for some reason?
No, it's Will Compton.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if I have time to eat and get home, but I don't really have to get home. I could talk to him in the car.
You got plenty of time to eat and get home.
I could talk to him in the car too. I have to. I got to eat. I mean, let's be honest.
I love that. He's like, I'll just talk to him in the car. No big deal.
Yeah, you guys yesterday were killing me at Ponchos and Lefties, and you put a taco craving on me that I unfortunately did not make it to Poncho and Lefties. I settled for tacos elsewhere that did not fulfill
Taco Bell.
My expectation. No. A slightly upgrade over Taco Bell.
I was going to say, I mean, you go from Poncho and Lefties to Taco Bell. That's a major come down.
Well, so Reed, since you grabbed the mic, bigger lie told. Was it the?
He's cracking himself up over here. I don't know where he's going, but it's funny.
Was it the lie?
I know where he's going.
Was it the lie that Kirby told by saying he connected early yesterday, or the lie today about sitting next to the prostitute?
No, I believe he spent a 2-day on a bus with a prostitute. Over the fact that I know he connected 4 minutes before the show started yesterday.
How does he think he can lie like that so freely about the connection?
So full disclosure, I was sitting there while he wasn't scrambling. He was setting up like normal, and he made 2 phone calls, but did not get an answer. This was around 8:30 yesterday.
So you're selling out Jonathan
Schaefer. No, I'm not. Schaefer could have been busy with getting someone else on the phone. I'm not selling him out at all. But I will say that
Kirby, after not answering,
he went and played the Jackson County harmonica is what he did.
Okay.
And then came back.
No, so. He did attempt to call while I was in the middle of the sports update, which was after 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's right. Yes. By the way, I reached out to Kirby, who had a great question. I failed to asked the most obvious question for The Truth According to Kirby, which will be podcasted.
No, I think you asked the obvious one.
Oh, I did?
What was the price? I mean, that was the most
the price,
question.
But also, what was her name? Did she have, what was her name?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Kirby,
we were obsessed with the price, David and I.
I wanted to know if there was some special name, and Kirby responded and said, I have no idea what her name was or if I even asked.
I was just, he didn't even care. after the tattoo flash, he didn't even care. But right. I wondered how, this could be, his life could have been completely different had payroll went through that day.
They talked for, well, he would have been on a plane, according to him. They talked for 11 hours nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you doubt it. He made it like she... Like, keep initiated in mind, the conversation.
Kirby, this is not the Kirby non-stop. Of today. This is the Kirby. This is Goldilocks Kirby with the perm and everything.
Right, but this is still here's
the big collar.
Here's the overlooked. Here's the overlooked part of the story to me. She got on the bus, saw the dude smoking a pipe, and didn't want to sit next to him. So she goes and sits next to the Kirby for the next 12 hours.
I wonder how long that seat next to the pipe smoker stayed open.
Oh,
if she might have decided, hey, I'm going to go talk to that guy for a while, or not talk. See, the problem when you get in that conversation, then you have to say at some point, okay, time for a nap, Chief.
I think we should just call her Candy. Like from here on out, like Kirby and Candy.
Virginia. Like Virginia Slims.
Yes.
Her name is Virginia.
Virginia.
All I know is when Kirby got on that bus that day, he had a lot of love to give.
Oh.
So did she. So did she.
She had a lot of love to.
If you missed The Truth According to Kirby from Thanksgiving of 1981.
Offer for cash.
Please listen to the second hour, end of the second hour of the podcast.
Or she wasn't a.
Reed will have the. Go ahead.
Prostitute, and he just misconstrued the whole thing. She just liked low cut tops.
Based on the reveal on the bus, it sounds like it was definitely what she was selling.
We always fall into this thing where we believe these things to be true.
Oh, I
we
totally
just
believe
refuse
it.
To remind ourselves.
I'm shocked we haven't heard that story before.
Lies, lies, lies.
Fun show today. Hey, happy Thanksgiving. We, from all of us to all of our great listeners to 104.5 The Zone, thank you so much. For what has been a crazy year, for sticking with Sports Talk, sticking with Midday 180. Hit us up on social media. Enjoy the football tomorrow. Enjoy Titans and Colts. Paul and I headed to Indianapolis. A lot of football and a lot of reaction on Monday. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
We appreciate you more than you know, but now we hope you know. Don't block the box. Do lock the locks. But after I'm done drawing this up, I gotta go be with a hook. It's just how it works.